content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Demi Arsenault from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Lion Magazine. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Lion Magazine, and we're going to do a look back to winter of 2023 issue of Lion Magazine, beginning with our Global Service Department, with an article from the United States, Gotta Love a Locomotive. When the conductor called all aboard on the 4th of July, even Colorado's Loveland Lions were surprised. More than 880 riders of all ages set a record with tickets to board their replica train in the park that day. The Buckhorn Northern Railroad in Loveland's North Lake Park is an authentic rail replica of a steam train that once served the area. It takes passengers on a quarter-mile, 17-minute ride for $1. The train was built in 1977 and purchased by the City of Loveland in 1988. Loveland Lions took over operating it, donating their time and effort to run it 6 days a week from Memorial Day through Labor Day. They split the proceeds with the city, and Lions used their 70% to support community vision projects. It's been a great partnership, says Parks Manager Dan Willidson. The club's millionth train rider received a lifetime pass in 2020. And in the summer of 2022, the Lions welcomed more than 25,000 passengers, says Lion Lyle Gilroy, who was happily working as the engineer on a sunny Sunday afternoon. Gilroy is one of 43 Lions and 12 volunteers who work 4.5-hour shifts, either as a station agent in the depot selling tickets, snacks, and souvenirs, or as a conductor or engineer. He likes to be on the job about 3 days a week. I make a lot of friends here, he says. Many families want to take his picture with the kids. The train harks back to the days when the Buckhorn Northern Steam Train hauled clay from Devil's Backbone to Wild's Brickyard west of town. Devil's Backbone is a scenic, geologically diverse open space with 2 miles of Dakota sandstone rising 200 feet over the surrounding plains. Just west of Loveland, it is popular with bikers, joggers, and hikers for being home to native wildlife and wildflowers. The train in North Lake Park doesn't haul clay, of course, but it can carry 45 or 50 people at a 3.2-mile-per-hour, says a smiling Lion, Gary Sampson, past district governor in District 6E. Hold on to your hats. Oh, people love it, he says. Sampson says their passengers have ranged from 3 days old to 102 years old. The train runs from noon to 8 p.m. on Tuesday and Thursday through Sunday. On Wednesday, when all the help is at their noon Lions meeting, it is delayed until 2 p.m. Besides the engine traveling on 1,588 feet of track, there are two open passenger cars, a cattle car, a caboose, the depot, a windmill, and a tunnel that the club funded and erected as a centennial gift to the community in 2019, says Sampson. By next summer, they will have replaced the original engine and added a handicapped accessible car that can accommodate wheels, chairs, or walkers. COVID derailed the train for a good part of one summer. Problems on the track and with the old engine stopped things another time. But the city and the Lions expect next summer to be as good as the summer of 2022. Back in the 70s, it was something new and different. A lot of residents came to North Lake Park, says Willidson. Now we have the second generation of riders. People who rode the train as kids are bringing their own children. It's nostalgia more than anything else. It's a staple. It's a treasure. Our next article is from Canada, also from the Global Service Department, entitled Little Ambassador Takes Leos Around the World. He's little, he's legendary, and he's a Leo. Well, sort of. Since 2018, Dustin Dumbledore has traveled to Lion and Leo events across at least four countries, received pins from International President Brian Sheehan and past International President Brian Alexander, joined the Lions International Pin Trading Club in Calgary, ridden front and center in the International Convention Parade, and spent countless hours in airports, all without uttering a single complaint. Perhaps that's because he can't technically talk. He is a stuffed animal. What he lacks in flesh and blood, he makes up for with charisma. He's Dustin Dumbledore, the Leo mascot for the little legendary lion. Sorry, the little legendary Leos in Alberta, Canada. With 400 plus Facebook followers and numerous other fans, this stuffed Leo has played a unique role in helping to spread the word about lions, and especially Leos, are capable of, says Foothills Lion President Tim Beer in Diamond Valley, Alberta, Canada. It all started in 2018 when Beer's daughter, Alicia Carey Beer, attended the Multiple District Convention in Alberta and purchased him at the Lions Cavalcade for the diabetes booth. At the time, she was chartering a Leo club who chose their club's name after discussing how great they were going to be. "We are going to be famous. We are going to be legendary," the enthused group said. They are now 26 members strong and have the support of 60 lions in their small town of about 5,000 people. Leos love to see what their mascot is up to. "He's representing all of them," says Tim Beer, who works as a city bus driver. "We can't do an activity if he's not there, so we make sure to always bring him along. People ask questions. Where did you get his vest? How did he get all the pins? They want to know more about the Leo Club, and with questions come good things." "Sometimes things get very serious in the lion's world," says Beer. He has shown Leos that even those at the top can take the time for pictures with a mascot. They are not out of reach. They want to have fun with everybody else, and Dustin Dumbledore allows them to do just that. What the charming Leo cannot do is help when the Leos are sorting glasses, cleaning up from a section of highway, or collecting firewood from farms to sell at the Lions winter campground. But he has already proven he can bring in new members. Soon he will be ready to pack his own travel backpack for a busy July with the 105th convention in Boston, quickly followed by the USA Canada Leo Leadership Forum in Chicago. Says Tim Beer, this little guy sure does get around. Our next article is from our features, and it is titled, "If You Build It, They Will Come: How the Biggest Club in North America Attracts and Keeps Its Members." The quaint seaside town of Seal Beach in Orange County, California, got its beginnings as a shipping port called Anaheim Landing, where growers found it a convenient distribution point for the wine they nurtured in their Southern California vineyards. But when the railroad arrived in 1875, it took over as the main method of transport, and the port became a sleepy vacation getaway for people from nearby cities. When a branch of the Pacific Electric was planned, area businessmen decided it was time to build a town that folks could actually settle in. But for decades, the town faltered. It remained a sleepy beach town with a population of about 400 summer residents, many of whom bought small cottages they planted right on the sandy beach. In 1913, one of those businessmen decided to invest in building a pier off the beach with large pavilions on either side for entertainment. Then, several years later, another businessman decided to build an amusement area. They brought in rides from the closing San Francisco Panama Pacific International Exposition and rebuilt them to establish the first beachside amusement park in Orange County. What became known as the Joy Zone and historic downtown Seal Beach seemed to do the trick. People came. The area, by now called Seal Beach, became a bustling tourist destination, popular with local residents and recruits from the nearby naval base. Jokingly referred to as Mayberry by the Sea, Seal Beach's downtown is a three-block stretch of boutiques and cafes that runs into a historic wooden pier. It's a friendly place. Shop owners will happily sit and chat if no one is in a rush. The whole town has a feeling of being one big happy family. In many ways, it is. "People love to live here," says Mayor Joe Kalmick. And that's, in a large part, due to Lions. Building a club. Woven into the fabric of everyday life in Seal Beach are fish fries, arts and crafts fairs, Christmas parades, beach and graffiti cleanups, site programs, youth outreach programs, and dozens upon dozens of more events and activities, all run by the Lions. Although Seal Beach is a small town, it's home to the largest and most active club in North America. Established in 1939 with just 6 members, the Seal Beach Lions have been serving the communities of Seal Beach, Rossmore, and Los Alamitos for 80 years. Whether it's the annual fish fry, which has been a staple of the community for 78 years now, the Arts and Crafts Fair, or the Christmas Parade, Seal Beach Lions seem to be everywhere. The Lions Club is so integrated into our community that almost every major event that goes on in the city, the Lions participate in or are managing it, says Kalmick. With 418 members and 120 Leos, the club powers its way through a whopping 120-plus projects per year, with something on tap every single weekend, except for Christmas. In a town with just 25,000 people, those are impressive numbers. So how do they do it? Be known. The Seal Beach Lions do not recruit. Instead, 10 years ago, they adopted the motto, "If you build it, they will come." "We didn't ask a single person to join our Lions Club," says Scott Newton, who joined the Lions in 1988. "We've grown to be by being involved in the community and being able to bring youth into what we do." Their goal, he says, was to make themselves so entrenched in their community that potential members would come to them. And it's worked. John Quinlan joined Lions approximately 1 year ago, specifically because he wanted to help restore the red car, an old repair car from the former Pacific Electric train line that, after being a part of the city for more than 100 years, had fallen into disrepair. So when he found out that the Lions were involved to try and help broker a solution between the previous caretakers and the city, he knew this was a great opportunity. "Now, instead of having to work within the city," says Quinlan, "I could come into the Lions Club and offer support and my skills to try to bring the historical site back to life." Since taking ownership, Lions have cleaned and repainted the red car and are preparing to open it up for events. "The community will hopefully get to know the red car again," says Quinlan, "the way it used to be." "In Seal Beach, if you ever want to get something done, it's the Lions Club that can do that," he says. "They're involved in everything." Be seen. And they certainly do seem to be everywhere. The cargo van decked out in Lions signage is a familiar sight around Seal Beach. Lions take the van on every service project, whether they need it or not. "We're very visible," says Club President Scott Weir. "Not only do they bring their van, but every event they leave brochures and post a sign that reads, 'Another project by Seal Beach Lions.'" Their social media feeds are filled with bright, well-shot photographs. Their comprehensive website is well-maintained and regularly updated to feature the next big project. It also includes a whole calendar of upcoming events, information on past events, ways to contact the club, and even an application to join. "We're still on invitation only, but we want to give them a preview right away of what it's all about to be a Seal Beach Lion," says Newton. And what is it like to be a Seal Beach Lion? "It's truly a family," says lifeguard and Lion Nick Bolin. Bolin became a Leo in middle school when his best friend asked him to come to a meeting. He enjoyed having fun with his friends and getting to know some of the Lions, as well as becoming involved in the community. He became a Lion when he was 21, and while he's involved with many of the projects, Bolin sees firsthand the joy that Lions can bring others when the community members check out one of the beach wheelchairs donated by the Lions. The chairs make the beach more accessible to the elderly and those with disabilities. "Those wheelchairs go out almost every day," he says. "Some people are going out into the water for the first time. It just really brings them a lot of joy. And that's because of Lions." Represent your community. 10 years ago, when they decided to rebuild their club, the Lions focused on bringing in people from all walks of life, which meant they had to appeal to a wide variety of interests and abilities. This meant taking a critical eye to some of their old traditions. We asked, are they relevant, says Newton. The answer, he soon realized, was, well, no. I was looking around a room and noticing a lot of lips weren't moving when we were singing songs, says Newton. It wasn't relevant for a new generation. And that was one of the traditions we ended, singing songs at every meeting. Newton and the other leaders realized it wasn't their father's club anymore. And my son says that about it as well, he says. And my grandson will say the same thing as they continue to evolve and change to be relevant in the community. Changing the way things are done isn't easy for everyone, even when it's something non-essential like singing songs. Some of the older members had trouble with the new way of doing things, but over time they adjusted and they adopted new traditions with their growing club. One of those new traditions? A lot more socialization, says Newton. By focusing on bringing in established groups to the Lions, they are able to get a lot more people in, and it has made the benefit of being a ready-made mix of folks who already like hanging out. Mothers' groups in town? Become Lions. Join us, says Newton. I think the most important thing is relevance in your community, and every community is different. They're also keenly aware of the pressures on young families and have made specific efforts not only to reach out to families, but to ensure Lions is a place where the whole family feels welcome. We want to make sure some of our younger members who are starting to have children stay active, says Newton. Because what happens with younger people that have children? They want to disengage for a while. Let's keep them working. Let's give them a reason to serve with their children. And it's okay to hear crying in the back of a meeting. At Seal Beach Lions Club, people bring children. It's perfectly fine, says Newton. Once a quarter, Seal Beach Leos babysit the children while their parents are upstairs at a meeting. And Leos see how much fun it is to be a Lion. They feel involved, and they feel excited to join. Literally, on their 18th birthday, they will join our Lions Club. They've been watching it their entire life. We are integrated. Leos aren't in the background, and they're in the foreground, and that attracts them to want to be part of the club. Bring ideas. And once you're part of Lions, well, they expect you to bring it. Bring your passion and your ideas. All members are encouraged to come with an agenda. We love new ideas, says Newton. We're always looking for new projects. Ed Soles found himself chairperson for a brand new event 5 months after joining Lions. As a professional skateboarder, he had participated in the skateboarding for autism events in the past and thought it would be a great event for Seal Beach and for the Lions. So we've already got 24 children signed up, and former professional skateboarders are going to be at hand helping them, training them, and teaching them some skills, says Weir. What a lot of fun. Fun and fulfilling. For Quinlan, he feels like he's finally found his voice with the Lions. I simply go up and make a presentation at our meetings, and everyone wants to be involved. If you have passion for a project in your community, you simply present it, and the Lions Club is so diverse and has so many great people within the club that they'll take on your project. Be there for your community. In fact, they'll take on just about anyone's project. We rarely say no when someone asks, says Weir. Whether it's the police department that wants to do an open house for a national night out or a carnival for local schools, yes, says Weir. Lions will grill up some food and offer support in any way that's needed. A resident reporting graffiti? No problem. We'll be there. They're a small town and a big club. They've managed to build a club that has been able to attract, support, and sustain an astonishing number of active, engaged Lions. They've built a sense of community through accessibility, friendliness, and smart advertising. And instead of focusing on recruiting new members, they focused on being the club their community needs. They engage with their local businesses, their government, and their school districts. They are continually taking stock of who they are. Seal Beach Lions make it their mission to represent their community and, above all, remain relevant. Every club has the ability to do what we've done, says Newton. If you build it, they will come. And as a corollary to that article, we have a short article on 5 ways to make serving fun. If you aren't having fun, then you're doing it wrong, says Lion Melissa Murphy of the Sandwell Lions in England. And making sure serving is fun is one of the main ingredients in the Seal Beach Lions success story. Here are 5 ways to inject some good humor and good times into your club activities. Number 1, get to know your members. When you know your members well, you know what makes them laugh. Delmont Lions in Pennsylvania include a little get to know you during their meetings. The club president picks a member at random and puts them in the interview seat, asking them about their interests, hobbies, and experiences. It's actually a lot of fun hearing members talk about themselves, especially the older folk, says Delmont Lion Lisa Gismondi. Number 2, be willing to change things up. It's good to make some changes when something isn't working in your club. Mariah Tucker of Bay Area Special Olympics Lions Club says, "We got tired of having a board meeting and then the following week a general meeting with the same 14 people. So now we only have one meeting, and instead of what would have been our general meeting, we have an activity or an event with special needs community. We do things like dances, movie nights, craft nights, and game nights. It has been a game changer." Number 3, make new traditions. Sure, pancake breakfasts are great, but doing something new and unique with your club can be a great way to mix it up. On Halloween, Sandwell Lions have a tradition of going out for curry after dressing up and volunteering at the local spooky trail. And there's definitely something fun about a bunch of witches and warlocks gathering for a post-scare meal. Murphy says that they were even asked to pose for photos with other restaurant goers this year. Number 4, challenge one another. Push yourselves with spirited contests and set goals with fun rewards. Charles Carter of the Dawsonville Lions Club in Georgia walked away with a pint of strawberries after he told a great joke at one meeting. His club has been running a joke contest to get the laughs going. We draw 3 names out of a hat and ask them to tell a joke. The best joke wins a prize, donated by a member and placed in a paper bag. One meeting, a Lion won 2 tickets and VIP parking for an NFL game. And last but not least, number 5, encourage silliness. Whether it's goofy costumes at a fundraiser or theme nights for club meetings, look for ways to show that Lions take their work seriously, but they never take themselves too seriously. Lions Mike Eisenberg and James Knight dressed up as Tweedledee and Tweedledum at the 2022 28U District Convention in Utah and wandered the crowd, calling fellow Lions cell phones to see whose would ring, and then taking the opportunity to fine them for having their phone on. They also had bags full of funny prizes and many, many very bad jokes, says Lion Richard Stevenson. But their antics worked, and the crowd was engaged and having a blast. One feisty crowd member even swiped Tweedledee's own cell phone and auctioned it off, forcing him to pay $40 to get it back. However you decide to add a little spark to your line events, remember that you can do a whole lot of good while having a whole lot of good times. Great advice for any club or community service group. And our final article today is Gold Rush, Land Provides Bounty That Brings Community Together. More than 100 years ago, Mother Earth supplied so much iron ore in Michigan's Upper Peninsula that Ishpeming, Michigan was a boom town. The population was over 13,000, mines employed many, and the economy was robust. They even had an opera house. But over the years, the industry changed, employment and population figures dropped, and houses were left empty and tattered as miners moved on. Now Mother Earth supports the struggling town's rebirth, gifting them a new focus and a renewed sense of community. In many ways, the town of 6,400 has struck gold. Today, lush gardens thrive on abandoned Ishpeming lots. Weekly community days bring families together for summertime cooking demonstrations and then help to water and weed the gardens. Fifth graders munch on raw vegetables they grew in their farm-to-school garden. And this past summer, more than 3,000 pounds of locally grown produce was distributed to families. But it wasn't always this way. The UP imports 93% of its food an average distance of 3,000 miles away, relying heavily on transportation networks and fuel, says Ishpeming Lion Dan Perkins. But he hopes to change that. And unbeknownst to them, it's the children of Ishpeming who planted the first viable seed to help him do that. It was the spring of 2013, and the little kids in Perkins' neighborhood were standing around by his backyard, partly bored and partly because he's a friendly guy, always outside doing something with his tools. Sure enough, he was planting potatoes. Questions followed. What are you doing? Can we help? A lifelong gardener and the owner of a metal roofing company in town, Perkins was soon teaching them how to dig a garden and plant taters as his dad taught him when he was 10. But what he and the kids didn't immediately realize was that they were getting far more from this experience than just a break from late-day boredom. They were learning how to provide healthy food for their family. They were doing something for their community, says Perkins. They were connecting. In the months that followed, like-minded Ishpeming residents, including his wife, Lion Pam Perkins, shared his vision of a healthier community with nutrition education and access to locally grown food. And with their support, he founded Partridge Creek Farm, also known as PCF, a nonprofit educational farm that is growing, well, like a weed. Ishpeming Mayor Lindsay Bean says after years of tough times, their town is rebuilding, and PCF is a large part of the revitalization taking place. Their efforts are giving the community a unique character, a warmth, and a vibrancy, says Bean. What Dan and PCF are doing for the community of Ishpeming is simply amazing. Progress has been steady, one shovel at a time. In 2014, Perkins teamed up with the Grace Episcopal Church to lease their vacant downtown lot, and 100 volunteers helped build their first garden, the beautiful incubator garden with beehives and a hoop house. The Ishpeming Lions replaced 120 feet of broken sidewalk on the site, later voting to make PCF a club project. Later still, PCF became a District 10 project. In 2017, PCF partnered with Ishpeming Elks Lodge. Elks and Lions worked together building another large garden for the community on Elks land. And on Earth Day the same year, owners of Carpet Specialists in downtown Ishpeming offered the nonprofit their empty side lot for yet another community garden. And sadly, we're going to have to stop there for time, but you can read the entire article out on lionmagazine.org. And again, that's lionmagazine.org. So we've run out of time for today's episode of Lion Magazine. Be sure to tune in next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Demi Arsenault for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Lion Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening.